Hey, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to The Afterlife. Enjoy the episode. This episode has been sponsored by my business, Lauren Grace Inspirations. I'm a business and life mentor, a workshop facilitator, a soul-led entrepreneur, and host of The Afterlife podcast. I'm passionate about supporting people like you through transformative courses, mentorship, and trainings so that you can live the life that you choose. I love all things time management and helping the people that I work with to master their mindset. I truly believe that life is a precious gift, and when we can learn to be at one with our thoughts, when we can learn to love ourselves, control and master our time, we really can live an extraordinary life. I have a whole bunch of free offers on my website, and I strongly encourage you to go and check them out. I'd love to keep in touch with you. You can find me over at Lauren Grace Inspirations on all the socials, as well as laurengraceinspirations.com. And I strongly encourage you to sign up for my newsletter. 2 times a month, at least, I send a positive newsletter that's all about helping you to live the best life possible. I always include a card of the day, a business or a strategy tip, and I also include a spiritual lesson. I would love to have you join me, and I'd love to join you on your journey. Thank you and enjoy the episode. Hi, Lauren Grace here, and welcome to the Afterlight podcast. And my guest today is Sheila Marie. Sheila is a world-renowned forensic medium who has made a significant impact in the field of criminal investigations, both nationally and internationally. Collaborating with the FBI and various law enforcement agencies worldwide, she has played a vital role in solving numerous notorious world events, missing person cases, and both recent and cold criminal investigations. Sheila also served as a police officer for over 15 years. She is reputed within the police community and known as a medium with integrity. Her exceptional abilities have effectively linked agencies and families with crucial data, landmarks, maps, and guidance. And to date, she is credited with resolving over 400 high-profile criminal cases, leaving an indelible mark on the world of forensic investigation. And Sheila is joining me today to talk about all things forensic mediumship. What is a medium with integrity? How did she go from navigating life as a police officer to doing what she's doing now? How does she deal with the skeptics? And how does she let the day go when she's dealing with some pretty heavy stuff? Sheila, welcome to the show. Thank you so much
Hello,
for being
namaste.
Here.
Namaste. Thank you for
namaste,
having me, Lauren.
Sister.
Yes. this picture behind me was, I was just in India for 3 months, and that was, that's actually the Himalayas. Those aren't clouds. Those are mountains behind me. See them?
Oh, that's beautiful.
So
Wow.
I put that there. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit
thank
how
you for
it all
having
began.
Me. How it all began?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Let's see, how far do you want me to go
back? Take me way, way back. That's all right.
Well, I would say my mother always called me psychic. And I was brought up very Catholic. And I would be really upset with her when she would say that to me, because I thought that she was cursing me, you know. It's not a good thing to be psychic and being Catholic. Actually, I would say around 11 years old, my dad was a police officer. And he was actually a hypnotist, a self-hypnosis hypnotist on the side. He used to handle hit and run cases. Basically, he probably was a medium, but he would say he was a hypnotist. Yeah. And I would visit him. And on the weekends, he would say to me, okay, Sheila, close your eyes. And what he would do is he'd take me into meditations at a young age. So I was very comfortable with doing meditation and stuff like that. So later on in life, this is really funny, actually. Never have I ever thought and imagined my life ever being a psychic or anything, because I never even went to one before. Okay, like it was like voodoo to me. I was vacation Bible school teacher, I was director, I was totally, nothing wrong with that, but I was totally against psychic world, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So this is really funny. And this is how it happened for me. It's life purpose for sure. One time I was lying in bed with my little daughter. She was like 2 years old. We were goofing around, and I was talking to my sister-in-law on the phone. And at the end of the bed, there's like a door that goes into a bathroom. And all of a sudden, I heard lightning, and I said, "Oh," to my sister, I said, and Laura, I said, "Shall I go? Is it raining at your house?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "That's weird. It is here." And then it stopped. So I slid the window closed. I closed it. I'm like, "That was weird." Got back on the bed, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the bathroom about 4 feet high. I see this white light go like this and that. And I'm like, "Oh my God." She's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "Oh my God." She's like, "What's wrong?" I can't tell you. Why won't you talk to me? I'm like, "You'll see me, right?" She's like, "What will see you?" I don't know. She's like, "Are you seeing ghosts?" And I'm like, "No." And so this white light turned, and with my own eyes, I saw it. My daughter was watching it too. And all of a sudden it lifted off and flew across the room. I went, "Oh my God." Right. But I wasn't really scared. I was like, in shock, like type of feel.
Yes.
And so my sister-in-law, who is very new age, said to me, "Oh my God, you're seeing spirits. I know exactly who I'm going to send you to." I'm thinking, sure, okay, whatever. I'm like, she's crazy. So for Christmas, she brings home a gift certificate, and it says, "Meet your spirit guide class." I'm like, "Sure, yeah, I'll go." Right. So I take the gift certificate, put it in the cupboard. I'm thinking, I'm not going to that. She's out of her mind. Well, Christmas comes around again. And mine were very Italian. So I said, "I have to go to this class. I don't want to hear the wrath of her."
Yeah,
so
she's
I went
gonna
to
say,
the class.
"What did you did with my
exactly
gifts?"
Hold it against me for the rest of my life, right?
Exactly.
So I went to this class, and when I got in there, the woman, what does she do? She takes us on a meditation. And I said, "Oh, I know how to do this, because I did this with my dad all these years."
Yeah.
So I went in and we did meditation, guided meditation. And of course, it took me to a higher vibration. And I started seeing things I wasn't creating in my mind. I said, "Oh my God, is real," right? So I came home. And so anyways, I went to another couple classes, and I was instantly just seeing quickly, very quickly, happened really rapid for me.
Yeah.
And so I came home, I said, "I have to do this." And I go, "I have to teach people how to connect. If I don't teach people how to connect, I'm going to die." It was like a life purpose. Like, that's how strong it came to me. And still, I had not been to a psychic yet. So I came home and I told my husband, I said, "Listen, I have to do this." He goes, "You have to do what?" And I'm like, "You know, like psychics and mediums." He's like, "Oh my God." I said, "It's okay. You can divorce me now. I totally get it," because I was the biggest skeptic. I said, "But if I don't do this, I'll die. I have to do this." And it was like so strong in me. And so that became the path to me being a teacher, and me, the reason why I kept on continuing with my mediumship was so I could help teach, blah, 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 blah. so I could help people teach them to connect to their inner light system, you know?
Yeah,
And I
that's
said,
so amazing.
Yeah. So that was how I found my life purpose. And I'll be honest with you, at the time, I didn't even know what a life purpose was. I didn't know I needed to have one. But everyone's like, "This is your life purpose." I'm like, "Yeah, I think it is," you know? And so that happened. And then, so my idea was, so this is amazing. So I was a police officer at the time.
I was wondering, yeah.
Yeah. And I had babies, and I said, I needed to keep this from that life. And my husband was a cop too. My whole family, everybody, very political. So I would drive an hour away every Sunday and do readings for people. They would just come to me, and I would take a tithe, you know, and then I'd drive back home, and then I would never say a word about it to my family or anything. I lived a double life for many, many years until, and during that time, I grew as a medium, you know, I had a following, this and that, but still it was separate from my family life and my life around me. So one day I got this call from Historical Society. And when you read the book, you'll see there's some of this about finding Babe Ruth's piano. You know Babe Ruth, the baseball player?
Yes.
Well, I found his piano, and I'll tell you how this happened. So there was a Historical Society members in Sudbury, Massachusetts, and which basically is where the Revolutionary War was and all that kind of stuff. But also Babe Ruth lived there as well. So anyways, this Historical Society asked me if I would come out every Sunday and stand in a field and tell them what I would see. I'm like, sure. So we worked with the Smithsonian Institute, and every Sunday I would go in my head and I would go back like 400 years. I was reciting poems. The whole thing was just channeling. Oh. And I'm like, this is so awesome, because these people accept me. This is what I'm thinking, right?
Yes.
And so I would do that. And then I come home, and then I knew one of the guys had been searching for Babe Ruth's piano, because at the time, in The Environmental State Police had been searching for his piano for 30 years in this one area of a pond with zero visibility. Of course, I didn't know about it till they told me this, you know? And so anyways, they would have me go out every Sunday. And one Sunday, they had trust with me, and I would, and they wouldn't tell me anything. They would just say, "What do you see?" You know? And you know how that is. You're a medium. You don't know what you're getting yourself into, right? So I saw a body of water, and all of a sudden I saw a flash of the green monster. Now, the green monster is in Boston, Massachusetts, and it is a wall that's in a base at Fenway Park. Okay. So I said, "Oh, this is that baseball thing." I said, "I want nothing to do with this," because you have to remember, I was living a secret life. Nobody knew I was a medium. Yes. You know, I'm like, "Ah, I can't do this." Right. And they're like, "Oh, just please give us 10 minutes. I said, "Okay, I'll give you 10 minutes in my head, and then we'll do our work after." They're like, "Okay." So I pick up a stick. I actually still have that stick. I pick up a stick and I went in my head and I said, "Okay, spirit, show me what I need." And I saw nautical marks. So I gave them nautical marks. I'm like, "Okay, that's enough." And that was it. Well, they tricked me. They had state divers and a permit for the pond. And the next day they went out and they found the veneers, the piano in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes. And oh my God, now.
That makes me want to cry, actually. I feel so emotional about that.
Yeah. Right? And they were, it was exciting, but I wanted to die. I wanted to crawl under a rock. I had shame. You know, I'm like, "Oh my God, what am I going to do?" And the universe said, "You're coming out today. You're coming out today," right? I had no choice. And so I'm like, okay. So I just had to accept it. Of course, online, people are nasty, but that's okay. That's usually how it goes anyway, anything psychic. I totally get it, because I am that person, right? I used to be that person. And so that happened. And so the next thing I know, articles went all over the world, actually in Australia too, mm-hmm. and India and Japan, everywhere, about what had happened.
And did they name you?
Yeah, just... they named me. Yep, the psychic. There's documentaries on it. Yeah, everything.
Oh my God.
And pictures and stuff. Yeah. So it was my time to come out. And so the person who I was working with at the time, his name was Kevin Kennedy. He was the one working me with it. He said, "Sheila, let's find missing persons." I'm like, "No, I'm not going to do that." Right. So he goes, "Let's just try it." I'm like, "Okay, fine." Of course, he had other means why, but I didn't. I thought it was good practice for me to connect, you know, because every time someone understands something, I'm amazed, right? Aren't you amazed, Lauren? Yeah. When people, I'm like, "Oh my God, you understand what I'm saying? That's crazy."
Or when they don't know and they come back and go, "It turns out this and this and this and this all line." You're like, "Whoa."
Yes. Yeah. Right. So you can imagine. So he gets this case and he shows me the woman's face. And I said, "Okay, don't tell me anything." And he had a way of asking me questions without me thinking. Okay. So I knew nothing about the case and I would just funnel everything. And I drove him through 3 states to get to where we were. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I named the name of the graveyard. It was crazy. I was just funneling. And so this was my first experience with the FBI. We had a contact with the FBI and I gave them my information and I led them in the right area. And I don't take credit for like that. So I get them in the right area. I don't want to see anything. I don't want it. You know what I mean? But that was an experience of a lifetime. I'll never forget it. That lasted about 3 or 4 days. And so that was my first experience. So the next thing I know, knock, knock, knock. After that, it was Babe Ruth. Knock, knock, knock. "Can you help us find this? Can you help us do this homicide?"
Of course.
That's how the forensic happened to me. And it was funny because that woman in the first class I went to, she said, "You're going to work at the police one day." And I looked at her and I said, "Oh, hell no. I'm done being a police officer. I'm a mommy now. I want to do something creative and fun, like make candles or gift baskets." And she's like, "No, you are." And so, yep, there she was. And I said, "Okay." So what happened is Kevin and I had a relationship where we worked as a team. And then later on, he was an upholsterer, so he went his own way. And I learned to create this blueprint of forensics and how to work in that world. We can get the information with maps, and because I download a lot, my mind downloads a lot of portraits and maps, but I also have a rhythm and a method to do it too. So that's how I became a forensic medium.
Wow. Well, that is a fabulous, amazing story. And I'm sure our listener at home is like their jaws on the floor. I've got so many different questions and tangents that I could take you on with this. I think a couple of things that I'd like to bring up, and I feel this like really deeply, and I think you will really connect to this question, is around the concept of fear. And, you know, you were originally talking about feeling that shame and almost having this double life for a long, or you did have this double life for a long time. And I think that, and I don't know whether or not it's part of past lives, if you believe in that, or whether it's just the conditioning of society and things like that. But I think a lot of us mediums, we really sit in fear.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, in my book right here, I actually talk a lot about fear. And part of connecting to the your inner light system in the universe is letting go of the fear, because your fear blocks you with that connection to the universe. And what is fear? I always tell my students, fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real, right? Yeah. We create our fear. We can visualize our fear. A lot of times we have nightmares. It's our fear, you know, meditations, you might see fear, you know, society, absolutely. When we're little, I always tell everybody, it's your time to go back to when you're like 2 or 3 years old, where you trusted everyone and everything, and you were just pure love. And as you grew, the fear came because the trust was lost, because people, you started seeing people's actions and society and judgment, you know? So a lot of fear comes in with that. Now there's real fear in the world, like triggers, you know, like you might get a fear of like spiders or something like that, or anxiety type of fear, or fear because that person's evil. That's okay. But your fear ultimately blocks you from the connection. So what I tell people is you have to let go of the fear first to connect.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? You do that by having faith in your higher power. I always say, who is your higher power? God, Allah, the universe, the wind, the leaves. Who is that? Because your mother, your grandmother who's passed, whoever that is, you have to give them the reins 300%. Let your universe, let your higher power take the reins for you and trust them. You have to trust them, and your spirit guides, people, spirits, entities, people who have been with you from the beginning and maybe many lifetimes. Those are the people, Jesus, whoever that is, you need to give them the reins. So when I started that class I was telling you about earlier, I had I knew how to do meditation because of my dad.
Yeah.
But so what I did at the time, I was very Catholic, nothing wrong with being Catholic. At the time, I have a lot of faith in Jesus and Mary. So I said, okay, you know what? I'm giving you the reins. If I'm not supposed to see anything, don't let me see anything. And guess what? I saw more. And I said, oh, okay, so this isn't such a bad thing, right?
They knew you could handle it.
Right, yeah. And I said, I was in the light. I said, like attracts like. If you're in the light, you're going to attract light. If your mind has that monkey mind and negativity, you're going to attract negativity. So your mind really is in control of everything. So that's why in the book, there's actually 5 meditations that can help you to let go of the fear, to focus on your inner light and the space in between, you know? But it's really, the key is to, when you're connecting, like you and I do as mediums, is to let go of the fear, let your higher power take over 300%. It's not up to you. We can connect, but we're just the conduit.
Yes.
You know, we're just the open channel. Here's the spirit world. Here's the open tunnel, and here's the person. We're the open tunnel. That's all we are. And all our job is to take that information and hand it over to the next person. So a lot of times I find, a lot of times when I'm teaching, I've been teaching for over 25 years now. So I have thousands of students. And what I also see is the ego gets in the way as well, not just fear. So if you're full of yourself, if you think you're doing it, and also I just said something horrible. I just said the word think. If you're thinking, you're creating it. So that's the biggest thing you have to do to unblock your connect, to unblock that connection, is to not think. Even when I'm in class, the students will say, I'm thinking this and this and that. I said, you're what? You said what? You didn't say that word, did you? Because when you say it, that means you are subconsciously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you're doing mediumship as the channel, you need to have your mind almost turned off. Well, turned off.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise you're putting yourself in it. So do you Absolutely. Encourage people to say things like, I'm getting blah, 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 or I'm seeing blah, 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 or I'm feeling like, is this, that how
what
you
I,
get them?
So what I do, there's different layers, you know, everyone's at different layers. And, but what I encourage people, just say what you see. Say what you see. Don't interpret it, because if you interpret it, you're thinking.
Totally. And you don't want to think. Story and you're wrong.
Yeah. And you, and when you interpret it, you're creating a block. And okay. So you wanted to say what you see. Spirit. So in other words, so I had a woman, I always use this one. It's just easy. I remember it. That's why. I had this woman and she's sitting in front of me. And I said, I saw a red color mat, a Pakistani mat, a mat at a door, this and that. And she's crying. I'm like, why is she crying? I don't know. Her son's name was Matt.
Oh.
So the thing about it is what you see visually as a medium, it's not actually what you see. It's what spirit wants you to say to that person to 100%. Sharpen that trigger.
Yeah.
You know, when they, because it's all about triggers with the other person. So it's not about our interpretation. You know, like when I do a reading, I'll say to people, please don't say anything the whole time. Once I get you all the information, if you still have questions, I can try to help you with it. Because it's about their interpretation. And if they don't understand something, because sometimes spirit will show me something about my life, you know, and I'll be like, oh, I'm seeing me at 5 years old. So really it's that person at 5 years old, you see?
Yes.
So there's different types of things, ways to do it. I forget what I'm talking about.
We were talking about ego. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Ego.
The ego. And ego is, I mean, you kind of use the reference of superiority, but ego is also inferiority. It's both.
Absolutely.
I think we sometimes get confused that people who are like play the victim. And for me, I tend to, my ego tends to play that card where it's like, oh, mm-hmm. I better shrink down and be small and like hide, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really funny because when I have people in for a workshop, I say, okay, leave your egos out at the door. If not, I'm going to knock you out at the knees.
Perfect.
It's true though. You know, they're like, what? I'm like, I have to. And I go, I tell everyone when I'm teaching you, I have to be brutally honest because I love you. Because I want you to do well, because I want you to connect. I want you to help yourself to be the best conduit you can be so you can help people. That's what it's all about. You know, it's all about helping. And as you do that, you grow as a being too, I feel, you know, and there's no ever medium that's perfect. We're constantly moving forward, you know, and if someone thinks that they're perfect, guess what? They need to go back to class. The ego's in the way, you know?
Yeah, that's 100%. Yeah, I think sometimes, I think there I am with
you. Think or you feel?
I think I feel both. So the thinking is already wrong, isn't it?
Yep. No, that's okay. As long as you're conscious of it.
Yeah, I like that you brought that
and
up.
And subconscious too.
It's really helpful actually to start to see a little bit more of that. You talked about quieting the mind, and that's a lot of the work that I do as well. I help people to master their mindset because I think we forget that we don't have to believe everything that we think and that our thoughts aren't real. They just pretend to be important. Right. And a big part about, I think when I first, oh God, there I go again. When I first started becoming a medium, I was really afraid of spirit and not having the power to be able to move things off if I wanted to. And I've talked about it on the show before, but I got a Theta Healing. We removed that program and that issue really disappeared. One of the things that was really fascinating to me was the whole quieting the mental mind, the monkey mind, and just receiving Absolutely. That information. And a big part, I think, of the mediumship journey and maybe the spiritual journey is that trust. So
Absolutely.
Do you feel that you've always kind of trusted in yourself and the information that you had, or was that learned?
Well, I think it had a lot to do with my dad.
Yes.
Because I was in meditation and I trusted my dad. So I didn't think twice about it. You know, so I knew that I was safe. So I didn't have a lot of, when it comes to meditation, I don't have a lot of fear, but I do have a lot of faith. I have a lot of faith in my higher power, that my higher power is not going to steer me wrong because my higher power guides me all the time. And I always ask for it. Like if I'm doing forensics, say I'm working on a case, I'm always by myself. You know, what I tend to do is not go in my head right away. Like I might get a call and I'll say, okay, just tell me the person's first name. Don't tell me anything, what happened, this and that. And I'll give you a call in 2 weeks. They're like, what? I'm like, unless I get everything before that, unless it's a missing person and it's live. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll say, you have to hurry.
So I say, because what happened eventually, and now I know it's my life purpose because I get dreams even. I never did that before. Like I'll say, for one time, there was this one case. I was a little boy, and I'm not sure if I talk about it in the book. I think I do. One of them, I don't remember. It's so many. So anyways, I got a little boy's name. I said, okay. I said to the woman, make an appointment with me 2 weeks. And I said, come back. Okay. And just give me 2 weeks. And sure enough, I didn't know I was going to get dreams. I just thought I would go in every day in my studio and say, okay, spirit, show me what you want. And then just start writing things down. No, my husband at the time, who's a non-believer, wake up, because I'm screaming in my dreams. You're having a dream. I'm like, I'm having a dream. My God, I am. So I'm writing everything down for 2 weeks. Every night I had a dream from this little boy. Yeah. And I prayed to God, please don't let me have another one. I don't want another one. I had enough, please. Right. And as I wasn't used to it. And when I'm in my dream, all of a sudden, like, football lights come on, boom. And like, I could see the top of the head of the little boy, and he's showing me everything. Was crazy. Was really cool. I mean, and every time I have a case or even a reading, I'm sure you understand this, you it goes into your files, it goes into your database, so you always remember it, you know. So I had that. So the lady come in 2 weeks later. I said, listen, I said, I have a bunch of information for you, but before you do that, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to go in my head in front of you. So I went in and I asked spirit questions, and what I do is I ask spirit, show me in two different ways so I know I'm not thinking and creating it.
Oh, that's clever.
Yes. So, yeah. So I do that. And that really, really helps. So I write that down. And I said, okay, this is what I got. And I told the lady, she's crying and crying. Yes. So basically, she understood everything from the beginning, everything, all the dreams, everything. It was really a phenomenal case, because I actually saw the person who abducted this person. Mm. And they gave me a lineup, and they said, is it this person? I said, no, it's this person, 300%, because I saw it clear in my dream. And they didn't believe me. Well, they ended up getting a confession out of him, and now he's serving life. Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty, wow, what just happened to me? I wasn't expecting this to be so. But at the same time, I don't brag about it. I don't tell anybody about it, because these people are still alive.
Yeah.
You know, there's no case that I want to reopen and take the Band-Aid off of someone's knee for a family. Do you know what I mean? I get offers to go on TV, this and that. I said, you know, it's nice, but I don't want to talk about that, because that's not what it's about. It's about the connection for me. And yes, I'm helping people, but I don't want to stay in that darkness and that, you know what I mean? I'm not fear-based. You know what I mean? Because that's not what it's about. It's about love. It's about connection, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm helping someone, absolutely. The reason why I'm doing it is to help the family to have closure, to move on. I'm not doing it because I'm excited about the way this person died. This, you know what I mean? Whereas nowadays on TV, it's like, ooh, you know, I'm like, you know, so yeah, so that happened. I don't know why I'm talking about that, but
how do you let those stories go? I mean, for me, I haven't been doing readings in a couple months, actually. I've taken a break.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But one of the things that, you know, I kind of have set up is that I do let the story, like I let that reading go. I don't want to take it with me, because absolutely. I find that one of the things that I'm working on is being spiritual, but also being grounded, because I think there I go again. I'm just going to be calling myself on it the whole time.
I feel like it's
a drinking game now for our listener at home. They're like, okay, she said it again.
A quarter for everything.
Yeah. So one of the things I realized is that I spend a lot of time up in my head. And so for me, I have to be able to let that stuff go. How do you let those stories go, you know?
It's hard. If I'm working, the hardest cases for me are the live ones. And if I'm there, because I can taste it in my, well, actually any case, honestly, I get an adrenaline, I'll be honest with you, when I'm doing it. That one that I talked about was my first one. But when I do the others, I get an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, because like, you're okay, charged okay, by but, the light, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you, this is really interesting. Soon as I find out I'm working a case, I just live my life. I won't go in my head. I said, just live my life. And next thing I know, I'm seeing signs like with birds and animals, and like, I'll see things repetitively. I'm like, okay, I got to go in now. I got enough information. So to me, it's like really cool in that sense, but I can understand what you're saying. After, now at the end of the case, when they find the, say if it's a homicide or a murder or suicide, whatever that is, and then the family understands what I've said, they understand and they're grateful, because sometimes I'll start communicating with the spirit, not even just my spirit guides, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of healing that goes on, and a lot of high energy that's low, because it's like that sadness you can feel from the feelings. It's very, very strong. And sometimes you can taste the negativity, the evil, you know what I mean? And I don't like that, but me getting away from it, I just pray. And what I do is, if I have to cry at the end, I wait till the end, and I just stay focused. Like I'm the police officer the whole time getting the information. I stay focused on the mediumship, and that's what gets me through it. But then at the end, I'll say, oh, well, it's just another day. Shut the door. And then all of a sudden I'll say, oh shit, this stuff is real. You know, and then that hits me. So when I go home and become Sheila again, I'm not the medium, the forensic medium, I'm like, oh man. And I'll allow myself to cry it out. You know what I mean? Or I also, prayer is really what gets me. I say, oh, thank you for helping me to help these people. You know what I mean? And being humble really gets you through it. And not being attached. There is like when I'm working on cases, I know that I don't want to get too close. You know, I try to remain professional. That's where the policing comes in.
Yes.
This is a case. I have to end it. And then I move on to the next. And I try not to get emotionally attached. Do I feel for those people? Abso-flippin-lutely. Yeah. But I have to just move forward, because I have to continue forward. You know, it's not easy. And yeah. I'll be honest with you. A lot of times I feel alone, because I am alone doing it, you know, but I know spirits around me and they're the ones showing me, but it's hard because some people are like, oh, wow, that's really cool you did this. And other people are like, oh, what's wrong with her? Wow, she's crazy. Oh my God, what if she knows this about me? Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's like, we're not looking.
Yeah, but sometimes I'll be honest with you, Lauren, it's validation. So that validation feels wonderful. And not as an ego, but it's like your validation, it's confirmation. That you're connecting.
Yeah, yes, you're doing the right thing. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And that feels wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's very great. It's a grateful feeling. It's not easy though, but I have to be very selective in the cases I choose to. And I always ask, I don't ever look for cases. I ask spirit to bring me the cases I need to help. And those people come to me. And because like, for instance, I've mentioned this before, I had a case that was right down the street from me. And usually they're an hour or states or countries away, you know,
yeah.
But this one was right down the street, and everyone in the old mills where my studio was, the meditation center. And, everybody knew. And they're like, oh, Sheila, it's anyone call Sheila. And I said to them, I said, I have a contact. If the contact lets me know, they'll know. Cause I don't watch TV or anything, so I have no idea what's going on.
Right.
And sure enough, I left the mill that day, and all of a sudden I look up in the sky and there's this hawk going, comes like dives down at me and goes to the right. I'm like, I'm so doing that case, but I don't know when, cause that was a sign from spirit. Right. Yeah. I got home 10 minutes later, my contact me. Can you help us? It's been 4 days. We don't know. Sure, no problem. So I went in, I wrote a couple of things. This is really cool. Wrote a couple of things down, and I said, oh, meet me on this street. I said, okay, no problem. I pick him up, and he goes, go down to the golf course. The state police is down there. I said, okay, when we're driving into the golf course, you cannot make, this is like a Harry Potter movie. All of a sudden I'm in like a Ford Explorer. A hawk flies right in front of me, my hood, right on top of my hood, and is leading us in the way. And I said, he goes, oh my God, do you see what I see? I'm like, you have no idea. Right? So yeah, so that the animals are really great. You know, spirit really works with them when cases and stuff, you know? So I was like, wow, the experience is like, it's an adrenaline. I call myself an energy junkie.
Yeah. So in that story, you followed the hawk, you drove on, and then did you end up finding?
Yeah. Well, I ended up working. Or... I worked on that for a couple of days, and I got them in the right area, and they found them maybe like 20 feet from the area that I got. Yeah, so that was good. And what the interesting part was, I like draw maps, and in 9 times out of 10, the first 2 maps are exact. It's just a matter of figuring out what it is.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So I actually, like, one time I was out there, that case, and I was supposed to meet my contact. Well, he didn't show up. I'm like, okay, I'm here for a reason. Next thing I know, there's these two men walking with me. Turns out they were the family of the deceased,
the
missing. Yeah. But it was perfect because I told them this, and that. It was meant to be. You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes I'll get a lot of things precognitive. Like, I'll see things or write things that are going to happen the next day. It's just crazy. But it's just funny to figure it out. You know, when you put all the pieces together, it's like, wow, that's awesome. You know,
it's kind of amazing how your whole life really set you up for the work that you're doing now, you know, starting with learning about meditation at such a young, impressionable age, and then developing that trust and confidence and being able to quiet your mind to be able to receive that information. I'd love to know a little bit about how, you know, working with the FBI and the police are working with forensic mediums. Is this becoming a little bit more common, but still kind of maybe kept under the radar? How do people sort of
receive? Well, for me, it's different. I'm what you call a contractor. So people will come to me word of mouth, you know. As far as police departments, you know, psychics are big. Like, when you go to, like, let's just say missing persons, for instance, if you go there, you'll see all kinds of psychics trying to do everything, walking around, they're giving a reading, but I don't work like that. That's not how I do it. You know what I mean? My the way spirit has me working is completely different, you know? So that's just like giving a reading, like going in and asking spirit that. It's different for me because, like, I'm downloading maps and drawings. And then I'll go to the place if I need to. You know what I mean? It's like I have a different blueprint to work on.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm not just being a psychic, but I'm being an investigator too, you know? Yeah. For me, I don't know. Well, if they need you, they'll call you, they'll find you. That's the way I look at it, you know?
And
if you're reputable.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And if you're reputable and if you have a good,
track record.
Track record, you know, they'll call and they trust you. You know, does it help? I was a police officer, probably, because I understand the lingo. You know, I understand what they're looking for, what they need, what I need, this and that. Very rarely do I work with a local police department. It's usually much higher than that agency, you know, high crime, you know. But I have worked with local before, but they look at you like you're a psychic. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? But that's why I'm a contractor and I work for families too, you know, and they'll connect me to those people, to those police departments. I'll say, you know, I need some coverage here. I want to go in this area. Someone come with me. You know what I mean? Or something, you know, but I don't like to go there. I don't like that because it's a different ball game. When you say, if you're at a missing persons,
you're vulnerable too. You're in the element.
Oh yeah. I don't want to die
in your home at your desk. You're actually in the thick of it.
Yeah. I don't want to die. And everyone's suspect. And there's always someone trying to cover the crime, you know? So there's a lot of aspects. People will be like, oh, you help this person. Oh, you find this. You should tell us the case. You should do. No, thank you. No need. I help the family. That's all that matters.
Yeah. That's,
you know, I don't, I don't need to brag. I don't need to do that. Because what's important is the family got closure. And what's important is I need to understand that this is real and this is not a game, you know, and that's not being fearful. That's called being smart. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a difference, you know? So a lot of people, I mentor a lot of forensic mediums. Like, I have a 6 month and a year program, and the key is to allow spirit to handle everything for you. Spirit knows what you need to do, and spirit knows what they want you to do too. I don't ever look for anything. It always comes to me, always, because Spirit's the one who's in control. Even in our mediumship, we're not in control. Spirit's in control. We're just the funnel. We're just the conduit to pass the word around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how Wayne Dyer talks about, you know, letting go and letting God, and how when we think we're doing, we're actually being done. And I remember reading the surrender experiment a couple times, and I was like, I need to figure out how to surrender, because especially my personality, I'm a leader. I like to control things and
that's okay. You know,
driven. But mm-hmm. sometimes you also need to kind of relax. And mm-hmm. and I realized recently that relax is a synonym of surrender. And I found that was mm-hmm. really helpful. So it's like the minute yeah. you're like,
really I think a lot of times is, I think meditation is the key.
Yeah,
honestly.
I agree.
And meditation and letting go of the control. We as humans control everything because that's how society has made us, because that's how we have to function to move forward and to have money, you know what I mean, in society. So we form a control of discipline, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
But you can be uncontrolled and be disciplined as well, you know. So I feel that when you let go of the control as a human, you're allowing spirit to control it. And then again, there comes that trust again, you know? And yeah. it's scary because people in society have let us down. We want to be in control, but in the spirit world, spirit's in control, you know?
Yeah.
And when you allow the universe, meaning spirit world, you know, when you allow the universe to take control, it's beautiful. And you can go to higher levels of dimensions, and all that control will be less and less to you, you know. And but the five meditations that I do in the book of the forensic medium, it's called Forensic Medium, The Power of the Unseen. You can get it on Amazon, or you can go to my website, forensicmedium.com, or my SheilaMarieMedium.com. But anyways, in the book, there's five meditations in there. And a lot of people will say to me, I can't meditate, I think too much. I'm like, that's fantastic, because the whole purpose of meditation is to be conscious.
Exactly. And it's not to have a nap.
That's right. Yeah. And so when you close, you don't have to close your eyes to meditate it. You can walk, you can run, you can swim. I teach the pranayama. I don't know. Do you know pranayama?
Yes. Breathing.
The nose, the nasal, nadi yes. pranayama.
Yes.
That's really a great one because it helps letting go of anxiety, everything. So that's a great one to start with. But so it's really important to understand. And I tell everyone, when you die, you don't go to the spirit world. Mm-mm. The spirit world is already here. We're already spirits. Okay, these bodies that we're in, they're just astronaut suits for us, so our souls can live in them. Because when we die, our souls leave them. We're already in the spirit world. There's nothing to fear. Okay, yes. We create our own fear. You know, they say there's nothing to fear but fear itself, right?
Yeah,
it's so true.
I really connect with what you're talking about too, about feeling alone sometimes. And I'm in a different way, but I think people in the spiritual path, I think we all resonate with that on some level.
Absolutely.
Because we know we're part of source. We know we're part of the spirit world, but we also are navigating this human mind and mm-hmm. the dramas that want to come in, or the challenges, or, you know, whatever happens, you mm-hmm. know. So it's really about having that beautiful dance, that balance.
Right.
Yes. One thing that happened to me a couple of weeks ago was, and I learned this from Gabby Bernstein, but I was thinking about a situation, you know, I don't even know what it was, can't recall it, but I was stressing about it. Okay. And spiraling in my mind. And all of a sudden this higher awareness came in. It was like, I'm going to see this through the eyes of love. I'm going to see it through the eyes of love. And I said it a few times. And then all of a sudden it was like, boom. And from the top of my shoulder all the way up to the top of my head, all right side.
Beautiful.
Static, like you couldn't believe. I felt like I could almost kind of, you know, hit something. It was that intense. And I went, whoa. Yeah. And I went, okay.
That's confirmation.
Total confirmation. I was like, okay, I got it. Because that was the most intense I'd ever felt that. And I love, I wanted to bring that up because I think that when we remember that we can reframe, it's just remembering to do it, because mm-hmm. even when I know that, I can still see myself sometimes sitting in fear and allowing that. And then you kind of need that kick in the butt where you're like, wait a minute, I'm allowing myself to do that right now.
Right. And you have to kind of have an out of body experience sometimes when we're alive. Yeah. And you have to look for the lesson or the blessing. There's always a lesson and a blessing, you know, and you can choose whichever one you want if you have to, you know, but I totally understand. Yeah. So the monkey mind gets in the way a lot.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's not as hard. It's not as hard when you do it every day and when you're disciplined and you can do it every, like I meditate for hours every day, you know?
Okay.
And so to me, like I can see all the time and I'll have to sit there and meditate to get in. Do you know what I mean? Because the more you do it, the more you see, the more you're connected, you know? And I don't know why I'm telling you that, but.
Well, when you're doing like when you're seeing all the time, I mean, I would imagine you would also turn it on and off, right? Because you wouldn't, do you have that, those boundaries set up for yourself? Because
oh yeah. Like I have boundaries, like don't show me anything unless I need to, at least I need to know it, you know?
Or unless I'm working?
I like to just live my life. Like when I'm with my kids and my family, I like to be normal, but I find I'm back to live in the normal society, what they say is normal. And but what I find is the more I do that, the more lonelier I get. So I find myself being more spiritual now. And what's happened is my world, like it was years ago, I lived that separate life. It's not like that anymore. It's all intertwined now. And my whole life is spiritual. Am I shoving it down people's throats? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? I'm trying to live normal too. Do they understand me some of the times? Maybe not, but it's okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I find that in the beginning, it was really hard for me. And I'm sure it was for you. Society, you know, I went through a little bit of a depression state because even my own husband didn't accept me. The people in my life didn't accept it and they weren't open to it, you know? And again, it's that fear and it's that society, the fish leading the other fish in the sea, you know, I was never that fish. I was like Nemo, you know, the other way.
Yeah.
You know, you're from Australia. You should know this Nemo stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm Canadian, but I have lived here for 10 years.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. But that's, I do know about Finding Nemo for sure. And, you know, for me, I think a big part of my, because I was a business consultant and then I was really spiritual. So I would have this podcast and a business podcast and business work and business clients. And then, and I found it really difficult, kind of it was exactly the double life to go, well, who am I today? And like, where am I on this social channel? And, oh, I can't put that there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was really difficult. And I'm lucky because the people that I surround myself with support me no matter what I'm doing. Yeah. They give me room and space to grow, but I get in my own way. That's the...
Right. And I think the key is you have to look at the fact that spirit was priming you for your life purpose.
Yes.
That all that business side of you is to be intertwined with the spiritual side so you can help more people. So you can make poor people more conscious, you know? And so everything's meant to happen the way it's supposed to. So you have to look for the lesson and the blessing in it because it's spirit priming you for your life purpose. And the podcast is part of it.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. And I do agree with that. And I think that, you know, much like you, when you really connected with that feeling, it's when we get those feelings where we go, this is it.
Right.
And you just know. And then it's again, the trusting of the timing and divine timing and being taken care of and all of these things.
I have a lot of students mentor and they'll just do the process. Just do the process and everything will happen with divine timing. Spirit knows when everything's right for you and when you're supposed to do anything. What's important is that you keep constantly moving forward on your spirituality and in your life, you know, and you'll grow and develop and you'll say, oh, how the hell did I get here? Yeah. You know, that's what I say every morning. I'm like, I have a book. I don't even read.
And I will just say on the book too, for our listener at home, I haven't read Sheila's book. That's why I'm not asking her too many questions about it right now, but I will get her to come back on the show again, if she's willing to, after I read her book, because I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that. One of the things that I really think as well is that when we kind of know that everything will happen when it's meant to, we kind of, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just see things as being like, oh, that's BS or that's bullshit. That's like, does that ever happen to you where you're like, that doesn't even
all the time
matter? Like what? And, well, but you then can, our you minds can progress it. Make it a problem.
Well, sometimes spirit does that to you to push you forward.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. 100%.
Right?
Yeah. Get your attention.
That's why you're
right?
going to look at it. Everything happens for a reason. Everything you think, everything you do, everything someone says to you is pushing you forward.
Yeah. What do you think happens when we die? We've talked about life purpose. Actually, before you answer that question, when you're talking about life purpose, do you think that people can make a living from doing their life purpose? Do some people do something that, you know, pays the bills and their life purpose is sort of something
I've
that
seen
they
that many a times.
As a habit
sometimes people
or like
will,
as a
some people
hobby?
Will do that. Yeah. Are you talking about just mediumship or are you talking
just,
about just
I think
anything?
In general, because I think there's a lot of emphasis on find your passion, find your life purpose, live your passion. If you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. And I think that sometimes we spend so much time almost investigating and figuring all this stuff out that for some people that's not aligning with them.
Right. It's really hard because society has made it really hard for us, especially in the Western culture in the United States. I don't know so much about Australia, but everything's very high and costly, you know?
Yeah. Here
so unfortunately, a lot of us have to work two jobs and do both. You know what I mean? Does it mean that you're supposed to do your calling 100% of the time? Sure, you could do it in your job too, just in different ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A career, a life purpose is different than a job, but we need a job to have food on a table because it's not like we have chickens and cows. It's different nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does it mean that it's not, does it mean what you're doing is not your life purpose? No, it just means that you have to survive. That's all. You know what I mean? And so it's important to tap into your life purpose and to grow with that life purpose. Will it be, well, do you want it to support you? Ask spirit how you can make that happen. Ask spirit to bring you more work. Ask spirit, your connection, everything you need, all you have to do is ask. Even like if you're doing a reading, this is really funny. In the beginning, I don't know about you, but in the beginning, all I could see was the outline of bodies, like in my head. And like everyone was seeing faces, and I said, I'm really upset. And they're like, why? I'm like, I don't see faces. They all started laughing at me. They're like, why? I'm like, well, I go, I don't know. Spirit only shows me the outline of the body. How am I going to describe that? And this girl said to me, she goes, why are you limiting yourself? I go, I'm not limiting myself. She goes, you are. She goes, just ask spirit. They'll give you anything you ask for. I'm like, oh, okay. So I asked spirit, show me their face. Boom, I saw their face. So it's always important, your intent. What are you asking for in the spirit world you're going to receive? If you're putting that manifestation, okay? If you're putting negativity out there, you're going to get negativity. If you're going to put barriers around you that you're not going to have enough money, you're not going to have enough money. Is spirit going to give you an opportunity with a job here so you can bloom? Maybe that's part of it. You know what I mean? So what are your barriers? You know? So pay attention to what you consider a barrier or a gift, you know?
Yes. And sometimes the barrier actually shows us what needs to be healed or worked on or accepted or let go of, or, you know, so that we can.
And sometimes that job is not a barrier. It's a gift.
Exactly. Yeah. And it gives us the skills we need to be able to move on to the next thing, which is always exciting. Do you put a lot of emphasis on your emotions when you're making decisions? You know, how do you make a decision? You talked earlier about how you don't take on all cases. You sometimes will say, oh no. So how do you discern that? Do you feel into it? Do you just know right away?
So you mean when I'm giving the reading?
Just in general, let's say someone comes to you with a case and you're making the decision whether or not you want to take that, or, you know, how do you discern truth for yourself? I'm always interested in hearing.
You just know.
Yes.
You just know. You're being intuitive. Mm-hmm. You just know. You know you're supposed to. You know. Let me just put it to you this way. You know when you're not supposed to.
That's right.
That's the key.
You get those hurdles even if you continue to move forward. Yeah.
And maybe that person just needs a reading or they need to be guided somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but ultimately you make the choice of what you want to do and what you don't want to do, you know, but what's important is that you know what you don't want.
Yes.
Because everything else is open.
Yeah. And when
I just go with the flow. What's that?
When you know what you don't want, you know what you do want.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get what you think you want. You're like, oh, actually, shit, I don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Or you're in it. You're going, oh, God, what the hell did I do this for? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I try to remain professional as a medium, but mostly as a investigator medium, you know.
Yeah.
I feel that that is a good separation because people know their bounds with me. I tell them, don't tell me anything, you know. And I mean, I'll be in my studio working for hours and I'll just funnel information and just write down words. Then I'll go over my map, circle the words that I want. Then I might draw a face or a picture or a map. I have no idea what I'm doing. But I have to trust that my power is showing me what I need. And then in a week or two, I'll go back and I'll sit there and I'll use my thinking mind. I'll say, okay, what does this mean? Oh, this symbol means this to me. Oh my God. And then I'll take a map and then I'll say, oh my God, that's what this is. And I'm in the corner now, you know? And then I might get information that is around it. And then I need to find the needle in the haystack. So I'll say, okay, that's when I start communicating with my guides, show me something in two different ways, an item, boom, boom, boom. And then I'll look on the map. I'll say this, you know what I mean? So I look for landmarks and stuff to get to that needle. So it's layers and layers upon layers.
Yeah. You know? And as you're talking too, you know, I remember when I was getting some training with my mediumship, you know, my teacher was like, you need to like look at maps, start learning the different areas. You need to like look at the body, you know, the different organs. You can start to understand a little bit about how things work, you know, because kind of what you're talking about, you're creating your own dictionary of the way that spirit's going to connect to you. I love the idea of asking it in two ways. I think that is such a cool way.
And also I'll have to tell you, I always tell my students, I used to have them, they would say, oh, I need a book of my symbols. No, don't do that, because with every reading and everything you do, it's going to be a new symbol, a new item. So you don't want to stick with like an apple to me means teacher, but it might mean your apple tree in your front yard. But in this case, it might mean Apple Street. You see what I'm saying? So like you want to make sure that you're open always. Like you're just still that open conduit.
Yeah, that's so cool. Cause I would say apple, I would go, okay, apple for me is like apple pie. It's wholesome. It's taking care of, it's nurturing, it's home. It's like homemakers or homemakers, something to do with home. Yeah. So isn't that, I love that.
And yeah. It's a lot so that's why interpretation is really hard. So
I find
a lot of times if I'm doing like, maybe not so much home, well, maybe cause I do a lot of crimes, like what people ask, they'll say, okay, who did this? And then I'll start seeing scenes and I'll show landmarks. I'll talk about the person. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. But what was I talking about? Oh, I forget what I was talking about.
Well, we were talking about symbols and signs and being locked into a basically someone else's definition.
Yeah, so being open conduit like I am right now is what happens. It's really important to just... be open all the time. I remember what I was saying. So when I'm working on, I'm seeing myself drawing maps right now. And sometimes my maps are words. I know that sounds weird. And sometimes they're just scribbles. It's just crazy. And like, I'll write one time I wrote the word ravine. I didn't even know what a ravine was. Sure enough, the guy was in a ravine. That's great. You know, but all these scribbles and landmarks to get there, you know? You just being open and trusting and not doubting. Doubting is huge in mediumship.
Yes.
Because we don't want to think, so we don't want to interpret anything. Because if that's what we were talking about, interpreting. If we start to interpret, like I save the interpretations for the end, because a lot of times when I'm working on cases, it's exact. It's not interpretation.
Yeah.
And you'll be amazed how accurate your reading will be.
Yeah.
And say, spirit, say, show me two different ways so I know I'm not thinking. So you know subconsciously you're not thinking of something. It's like, oh, what? Really? Okay, I'll write that down. Where'd that come from?
That's so good. Well, we are wrapping up to our time together. I know our listener at home is like, Lauren, you didn't let Sheila answer that question. So what do you think happens when we die, when we when we transcend out of our astronaut
suits. When we transcend to our astronaut suits into the spirit world. Well, we're already in the spirit world. You have
I
to
like
remember
astronaut
that.
Suit versus skin suit. I kind of feel like...
Oh, absolutely. So you have to remember, we live in space, right? We forget that.
We're
are in space right now. We are aliens already, okay? Our soul is inside us. You know, I've had several people, well, not several. I had a good friend of mine die in my arms. And I watched her when she died, and I could see the energy come out. You know what I mean? And so anyways, make a long story short.
Wow.
We live in space, right? And we are already in the spirit world. When we die, when these bodies die, we can't use them anymore. So our energy leaves the body, just like our souls leave the body. And it goes into a higher dimension of energy. Everything's energy, vibration, and frequency. So is it a heaven? Absolutely. Is it an enlightenment? Absolutely. When I see the people in spirit world, they're enlightened. Absolutely. And it's a place of love. Is it a physical place? I don't feel it's physical. It's more energy and frequency and vibration. Yes. Is it a heaven? Absolutely. It's in the stars. We're in the stars. Our dimensions are in the stars. Do we live many different lifetimes? Oh, I believe that. And I believe we go to many dimensions when we dream every night. You know, so I always say to everyone, your whole life is one dream. Remember that. Your whole life, everything you're worried about is just one dream.
Yeah.
Just one little part on your journey. There are many, many, many lifetimes and connections. The soul is so important to bloom, is so important to connect and your inner light system to grow. This is why I want to teach people. And I have been teaching people around the world because it's your birthright to connect with your inner light system, to tap into who you are as a soul. Your body is just your outer shell. Your soul is who you are. And it's your birthright to know that. And unfortunately, we've been controlled and conditioned not to tap into that, to have fear base over that so they can control us. And it's your birthright. It's who you are. You know, so it's really important. And what we're searching for all the time, everywhere in the world, is already within us because we're searching for that love connection and that deep connection of that community of soul and love and connection with source. You know, so it's really, it's deep, but we are deep. We forget this. And this is what we're searching for all the time. And everything we need is already right within us. The less you have, the more you have, you know, and the more you connect to your higher power, your higher enlightenment, the more less you'll need and the happier you'll be. Mm. Are things going to happen around you? Absolutely. Because you're living the human experience. Mm-hmm. We're souls in this human bodies living the human experience. And that's okay. You know, but don't beat yourself up over it. It's just temporary.
Yeah. And it's how you weather it, right? And when you have that trust and that faith, and that takes practice to continue to develop that.
Yes.
And that's when you can navigate those storms and see those opportunities or blessings or lessons, as you talked about earlier.
I always tell everybody, we don't worry about being born. So don't worry about dying. Just live your life. You're here to live.
Yeah.
You're here to live. And when it's over, it's over, but it's never really over. What's that?
Do you think you choose when you die?
Possibly we could choose our whole purpose too.
Yeah.
I don't know because I've never asked. I guess I should, but I don't really ask stuff like that. But suppose it's possible. Sure, why not? Many lifetimes, I believe that. Are there old souls? Absolutely. Are there soulmates? Yes, absolutely. So sure, why not? Everything's, you know, open. But ultimately everyone is connected to everyone. We're connected. You know, many years ago, when I first started my mediumship, my mom lived in Oklahoma and she's called me on the phone. She's like, give me a reading. I'm like, I can't do that. You're not in the room with me. So I started giving her a reading over the phone. She understood everything I'm saying. I'm like, oh my God, that was my first virtual reading. Well, when I was in India a couple months ago, my brother said to me, Sheila, you're on the other side of the world. I go, I am. He goes, but you feel so close. I go, this is what mediumship is. This is what virtuality is. This is who we are as beings. Everything's virtual. Everything you do is virtual. When you're on a cell phone, everything is a vibration and a frequency, you know, but you don't see the in-between. That's what the book is about. You'll love it.
Yeah,
and
I can't
so,
wait to.
Yeah, so it's all about the connections. And so our whole life exists like that. That's why it's okay to have phones, cell phones and TVs. And, you know, and we don't think of it that way. I say, oh, you guys are in paranormal more than I am. You're on your computers all darn day.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I remember one time someone, because I said I was doing like Facebook readings or something, and they're like, I call BS. And my ego went, what? You know? And then I just thought, okay, they just don't understand that it's just energy and you can tap Absolutely. Into energy. And I like to use the analogy of when you're watching someone on a movie screen and they're acting, you can feel their emotion, and it's because it's just a vibe. Yes.
It's the same. Absolutely. It's Akashic record. It's a file. It's a vibration. And yeah. You know, I always tell everyone, I'm not doing anything. My guides are the one who's showing me everything. So everything's possible.
Yeah, that's
doesn't matter if I don't have to be there for the case. I can be anywhere because my guides are going to show me what I need to say. They're the ones who are doing it. There's a higher frequency guiding us, which is really cool. And I think it's a collaboration, a community of souls, you know?
I agree with that. That's so beautiful. Sheila, thank you so much for being on the show. Please come back so we can talk further about forensic medium. I would love to speak with you again. I could listen to you talk all day, especially with your fabulous accent. I was like, keep speaking. Keep
that's
speaking.
Funny. That's Bostonian.
Oh, I think it's so awesome. Yeah. How can people get a hold of you? You talked about how you've got 6 and 1 year courses. You talked about your book. How can they connect with you? I mean, are you taking on cases at the moment, or is
it? Oh yeah, I do. I always do. Yep. So you can go on my website at SheilaMarieMedium.com. Or if you're interested in the book, you can get the assigned book there, or you could go to forensicmedium.com, and that will connect you to Amazon and Kindle. There's an ebook and a paperback as well. Yeah. And so I list the classes there. I think I have some new ones starting up this month. I do online classes as well. And I also do workshops and I travel, and actually I'm going right now, I'm in Florida, but I'm going to Provincetown, Massachusetts this summer for a gallery. And so I just like spirit gallery, and I do some readings there, but New York and South Carolina. So yes, yeah, so I'm traveling a bit, but yeah, it's really awesome and fun. And if you stay, if you go on my website, SheilaMarieMedium.com, you'll see where I am all the time. We update it. But so I hope you see you like the book. It'll be great. And it's a good book because it teaches, it's for the beginner. But it's for everybody. You know what I mean? It's the basics. It's the why am I, a lot of people think it's all about my cases. I'm like, no, it's about connection. There's some cases in there, but that's not who I am. It's me about teaching you how to connect with your inner light system. And so
I resonate with that so deeply. I remember when I first got into mediumship, I was watching Tyler Henry on Netflix, and this voice came in, and it was like, you can't deny it anymore. Like, people need help to find their own power. And that's always been, ever since I can remember, why I was here.
Yes. So, see, that's why I've been introduced to you, because this is my mission, is teaching.
I really resonate with your mission. Exactly.
Yes.
So,
and this is a forensic medium, the power of the unseen, it's called. And it looks like this. I don't know if you can see it. Can you see it?
Yes. Looks awesome.
I can see it. Yeah.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, dear. Thank you for having me.
Hi. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave us a review where you listen to your podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you. New episodes every Thursday.